Psalm 118. We'll read all the verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. O let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. O let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. O let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I will look with satisfaction upon those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice to the cords, with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of His word and give us grace as we take time to look into it. Former Prime Minister Tony Blair has gone over into the Roman Catholic Church, as some of you may know. He is an example of an evangelical who has gone into Roman Catholicism. And many evangelicals who have done so say that they are desirous of going into Roman Catholicism or to Eastern Orthodoxy to taste of something ancient and to grasp something that is quite ancient. I smile when I hear that because my first response is, come and worship with us and taste of something ancient as we open the Psalms of the Bible and sing from the Psalms. And as you have sung from the particular Psalms this morning, Psalm 113 and Psalm 115 and Psalm 118, you have indeed partaken of something which is quite ancient. Our Lord Jesus, as we have said, did sing these psalms in the Passover feast. And as you sing them, you follow in His footsteps. And He sang them, of course, as He was on the way to Gethsemane and the trial and the cross. And He was faithful to His Father in covenant as He sang the great words of these psalms and then went to Gethsemane and went to the cross. And now as you sing these psalms, you can rejoice in the covenant faithfulness of Christ and follow Him in His Passover and trust Him. And that's what I'd like you to see this morning as we are together. That God is calling you to rejoice in the faithfulness or the covenant faithfulness of Christ and to trust Him and follow Him in His Passover. As we look at the psalm, we find that because it is this ancient Egyptian Hallel or part of the Egyptian Hallel, it does have reference to the Passover and to the Egyptian captivity. Look, if you would, at verses 10 and following. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surround me. Yes, they surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surround me like bees. When Jacob took his family down into Egypt in order to escape the famine, he found there a home with his family. But as his family grew, the Egyptians became frightened because of the growth of his family and the strength of his family, and they put that family under the yoke of bondage. And they surrounded that family like a great cloud of bees. And they struck that family and the members of that family. And of course, there came then a great deliverance. Verses 13 and 14 say, "You pushed me violently so that I was falling." And surely Israel felt that way in captivity. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. And particularly verse 14 is a part of the song of Israel as Israel looked back and saw the deliverance that God had given them. And they saw how God overwhelmed the Egyptians in the Red Sea. Keep your finger there in Psalm 118 and look back with me, if you would, at Exodus 15 and the Song of Moses and the first couple verses of the Song of Moses that the people sang at the edge of the Red Sea as they looked back at God's deliverance. Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2. "Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. Those words quoted in Psalm 118 and verse 14, as you look back at Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. And certainly, as our Lord Jesus took this same psalm of deliverance upon His lips, He was conscious of the fact that the nations literally were swarming about Him as bees with great venom in opposition to Him. All the nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. All the nations surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. Years ago in northeast Oklahoma, we had a good friend who had a pecan grove. And one day he was out in his pecan grove mowing. And he mowed across a great nest of yellow jackets that swarmed, thousands of them around him. And he was almost overcome by the venom of these bees. And when his wife saw him staggering, she was a nurse, and gave him a shot of adrenaline and saved his life. And our Lord Jesus understood the venom of the attack. And He understood these words, "You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation." And God saved Israel. And God brought our Lord Jesus Christ through that suffering. And as God spared and saved Israel, He instituted the Passover. And lo and behold, what does the Scripture tell us? That Jesus Christ Himself becomes our Passover. Look at verses 15 through 18. "The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." And so Israel sang as they commemorated the deliverance from Egypt in the Passover feast. I'd like you to keep your finger there again in Psalm 118 and look back once more to Exodus 15 and a couple of verses in Exodus 15, that song of the people upon their deliverance. Look at verse 6 in Exodus 15. What did the people sing? "Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemies." And then look at verses 12 and 13. "You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation." With a strong arm, God brought the people out of Egypt. And they were able to sing that, "Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power." And then, of course, in Psalm 118 again, Psalm 118, verses 15 and 16, "The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And God executed this deliverance from Egypt because He remembered His covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And He would not fail His people. And so Psalm 118 begins with these great words, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And Psalm 118 ends also with those great words, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His loving kindness is everlasting." His covenant love is sure. And His covenant love then came to expression in Jesus Christ, who did indeed go to that cross after singing this psalm and singing these words again in verses 17 and 18. "I will not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death." Yes, God the Father did discipline His Son severely. And the book of Hebrews says that He learned obedience through the things that He suffered. And Paul reminds you and me that He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that was His discipline as He learned that discipline and experienced the necessity of that discipline and went to the cross for you and for me. And why did this deliverance come to Israel and come to our Lord Jesus Christ? Because they cried out to God and He answered them. Look at verses 5 and following in the psalm. "From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me." Yes, Israel in bondage and under the discipline of God the Father looked to Him and cried out to Him. And Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24 says that God heard their groanings, heard their cry, and remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Israel learned the lesson of verses 8 and 9. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." And they, having learned that lesson, would sing those words in remembering God's deliverance in the Passover. And so it was also with our Lord Jesus calling out to His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me." And Luke tells us that He was in agony and that He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in that agony. He was in great agony. distress. But he knew it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And when Peter took out his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, Jesus healed that servant and said, "Do you not understand that I can call 12 legions of angels, that they are at my disposal? I will trust my Father," was the essence of it. And Jesus then was taken before the Sanhedrin, and he stood firm in his confession. "Are you the Son of God?" And he stood firm. And then he was taken before Pilate, and Pilate sent him to Herod, and then Herod sent him back to Pilate. And our Lord Jesus knew his course. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes, in Herod, in the Sanhedrin, in Pilate. And he knew the answer of God. And God answered Israel. And God answered our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 19, 20, and 21. "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation." Verse 21 parallels verse 5. Verse 5 again says, "From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered and set me in a large place." God set Israel in the large place of the promised land, and God the Father set Jesus Christ in the large place of glory in heaven, on the throne of the majesty on high. And in verse 21, "I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation." This was the song of delivered Israel. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. "I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me." What is the gate of the Lord? Well, in verse 19, it is the gate of righteousness. And as verse 19 says, "I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it." And friends, when you enter through God's gate, you receive the gift of God's righteousness, which is by faith. And all those who knew God and feared God under the old covenant understood that this was the case. As Habakkuk says, "The just shall live by faith." They understood that. And when you enter through God's gates, you are clothed with God's righteousness. And this is why in the psalm, it says in verse 20, "This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter in." And who are those righteous? Those of you who trust in Christ and have received the gift of God's righteousness. And so salvation and righteousness come to Israel. And Jesus Christ is the one who actually does work out that righteousness. And it is on the basis of what He does that Israel was saved. And it is on the basis of what He does that you now are saved. And the psalm becomes more pointed at this juncture because Jesus Christ is the means by which salvation and righteousness come to you and to me. Look at verse 22 and following. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, the stone is Jesus Christ, rejected by those among Israel who heard Him, but He has become chief of the corner, and His body is the new temple. And as you are united to Jesus Christ, you become the new temple of God with Him, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and you are spiritual stones being built into a spiritual house in order to give praise and glory to God. And as you understand this is the case, verse 23 becomes a reality. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Light is given to you. Look at verses 26 and 27. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. These are words spoken of Jesus Christ as He entered Jerusalem on that great day called His triumphal entry, just prior to His meeting with His disciples in that Last Supper and then going to the cross. And He was blessed by the people in that circumstance. And verse 27 says, the Lord is God. He has given us light. And surely, when you understand that Jesus Christ is the one by whom righteousness is given and by whom salvation comes to you, light has come to you, and it is marvelous in your eyes. And so verse 27 goes on to say, bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. And in the Old Testament economy, this was likely the idea of simply bringing that sacrifice to the temple and tethering it as preparations were being made for that sacrifice to take place. And so, as you come before God on this day to remember Jesus Christ, what do you say? Verse 24, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And you also say, verse 28, you are my God. and I give thanks to you. You are my God. I extol you. Salvation and righteousness come in Jesus Christ. And Christ did sing these words and became your Passover sacrificed for you. And he did this, friends, in covenant faithfulness to God his Father. And so again I say to you, rejoice in Christ's covenant faithfulness. Take refuge in him and follow him in his Passover. Dana Scully is an FBI agent in a television series, The X-Files. She forsook her childhood faith for science. But when she was struck by cancer and was in the hospital, she grasped a chain around her neck with a cross. And in that hospital scene, she says to her mother, "Have I done everything? I followed all the treatment, but have I done everything? Why is this cross hanging around my neck?" And is that not the question in the end? And is that not the question for you and for me? Because now you are singing this song that Jesus Christ took on his lips. And you are singing, "In my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and gave me a large place. The Lord is for me, and I will not fear. What can man do to me?" That now needs to be your song of rejoicing in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and his covenant faithfulness as you follow him and trust him and sing about what he has done for you. Look again at verses 8 and 9. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I shall not die, but live and tell Jehovah's works." This, my friends, is now your song And so I say to you, rejoice, rejoice in Christ's covenant faithfulness, and trust Him and follow Him in His Passover. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your good word. There is much in it for us to comprehend, and we fail greatly. Grant us Your grace and cause Your light to come upon us, so that what we read and what we sing will certainly be marvelous in our eyes. And we will sing to You that You are good, because Your loving kindness in Jesus Christ does indeed last forever, and we have tasted of it. Hear us, we pray, in the good name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.